Hey there, welcome to the Biz Under Construction podcast. I'm Cora Lee, and this is the podcast for women business owners in the construction industry that struggle knowing how their business is doing, are working nonstop, and don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. So whether you're just starting out or you want to take your construction business to the next level, let me tell you, as a woman with 25 years in the construction industry, including 15 years as a business owner, I can help. This show is going to help you make more money, finally stop working 7 days a week, and actually be able to take a bloody vacation. So let's get to work. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to bring you today's guest, and I know I'm always excited, but today's guest is a little bit different. And I think there's so much value in what Billy has to offer, and I think that you'll gain a lot of information that'll be useful for you in your business. So Billy Sinclair is with me today, and Billy's career background is in the financial services industry. For the first 20 years, she worked in various aspects of the stock market, and for the next 15 years, she taught personal money management in a workshop format. As a single mom of three, Billy grew passionate about improving communities while living in single mom's housing. Being active on the tenant committee and participating in and later facilitating single mom's support groups. For the past 7 years, Billy has represented Legal Shield around North America. They have an important mission to help improve the lives of women, families, and small business owners by providing access to affordable legal advice. Billy, thank you so much for being here. I really look forward to our conversation and sharing your expertise in this area with my audience.
Thank you, Coralie, and thanks for having me. And I think I'll just start by saying, you know, I didn't used to have any expertise at this. When I was teaching personal money management, it wasn't a topic in our curriculum. And it was through a family tragedy that I discovered the need for understanding some legal things. And from there, it really became just a passion and my life's work to help people kind of be a bit more proactive and preemptive and learn some of this stuff because I found a way to get it out there.
Well, thank you for that. And so why don't we start with that? Why don't you tell us about that journey from your financial services background into representing Legal Shield? It's a lot of years in there. And representing them and their mission, which I love, you know, everyone deserves legal protection, I think is their mission. And I think that that is so incredibly important. So why don't you share your journey with us?
Well, thank you. I'll give you the Coles Notes version. It started out as a personal, you know, family thing when my brother died. And my brother died suddenly. My brother died by suicide. So it was very obviously difficult, complex, had many layers to the difficulty. And one of the things I didn't ever consider was if he had a will. I had a will. I had children, but I just never thought about whether or not my siblings or my parents, I really didn't go that far. And as I shared, it was not in my curriculum, so I really didn't think about it. And when he passed away, he wasn't a guy with any money in the bank. He spent all he had, every paycheck. He didn't have a car. He had a cute little apartment, fully furnished. And his landlord gave me the keys and gave me permission to clean out his apartment, which I slowly got to do throughout that last month because the rent was paid. And I reached out to the CRA to let them know that he had passed. And they said, you know, thank you, send in the death certificate. And oh, by the way, he's 5 years behind in his taxes. Would you submit those? So, you know, I kind of reluctantly agreed. Again, fortunately, his employer, who also felt terrible about the situation, gave me all his T4s and was quite, you know, accommodative to me. And I submitted all of the taxes. And wouldn't you know, they gave him a $6,000 refund after his death, which came to me in a check payable to his estate. And when I took this check to the bank, they asked me about the will. I said there wasn't one. And they said, okay, well, then we can't help you. We'll open an estate account for your brother as a courtesy, but no one can have this money. Now, it was only $6,000 and I didn't need it, but I certainly wanted it.
Yeah.
And it made me think, what if I was a wife? What if I had children? What if this was the money that would pay the rent? Because the breadwinner is not with us anymore and he didn't have life insurance. Like all these things from my financial literacy background went through my mind.
Right.
And the banker said, well, maybe go talk to a lawyer. So I went and talked to a lawyer. They told me I needed to submit to the courts that I was the person that should administer my brother's affairs. And I said, okay, yep, let's do that. It's called a grant of administration. And we'll just need to charge you a $5,000 retainer and $300 an hour we'll take out of that retainer. And that was my response. I'm like, wait a minute, there's only $6,000 here. What
What's
if you work?
the point?
What if you work for me for 20 hours? Once you get this file, I can't control how many hours you bill me. And he said, yeah, sorry about that. That's true. So I just said, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to leave the $6,000 in the bank until a solution presents itself. And it took me 9 months to find Legal Shield. I wasn't looking in the right places because it was kind of all around me, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And once I discovered it at a networking event, I got my membership. It's a small subscription. The lady said, I don't know exactly what they can do for you, but at least I do know you can call in and talk to a lawyer without spending $300 an hour to get their help.
Right.
I was like, okay, I'm in. And when I talked to the law firm, the lawyer, she said, you know what? You don't really have to hire a lawyer to do this. It's no fun. It's a lot of paperwork. Go to Staples, buy this package. It's $40, and go through the forms, print what's appropriate, fill them out, submit them to the courts. Downtown Vancouver. And if you run into any difficulty, just call me and I'll walk you through it. And that's
Wow.
virtually what happened.
So then, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, once I got this grant from the courts, I was able to take that to the bank and they said, okay, thank you.
That's
Here's
crazy.
$6,000.
Wow. That's insane. So then tell me, what is Legal Shield?
Great question. So Legal Shield is a network of law firms throughout North America, in all of the states and just five of the provinces. So from BC to Ontario,
Okay.
what the parent company does is they partner with law firms, and those law firms then become what we call our provider law firm, and we become subscribers or members, and the plan is affordable. It's for families, it's $32.95 a month. For small
I just
business
want to be
owners,
clear that that's $32.95 because some people hear $32.95 a month and they're thinking that's $3,295. This is $32.95.
thank you. Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
Plus tax if it's charged where you are.
Right.
And small business also, we have special the ability for small business owners to also get legal advice for their business, and that's a little bit more. That starts at $50 a month, depending on the business's needs. And so with that subscription, we just have a hotline, a 1-800 number to a local law firm. You can pick up the phone, call in, request a consultation on any topic, and the lawyer will typically call you back between 8 and 24 business hours. And you can just say to them, what are my rights? What are my responsibilities? What might my next steps be? How might I handle this? Can you review this contract I'm about to sign? And so we can have this, as you called it, legal protection for the first time in our lives, where we actually have a lawyer on our shoulder looking at the document, looking at our situation, and saying, well, you can't do this and you can't do this, but you could do this and you should do that.
That's why I love this, because I think it's so very valuable, because it is at 30, less than 50 or $50 an hour, or an hour, no, a month. It's so incredibly affordable for small businesses. So if you have a business account, do you only have access to business lawyers, or can you call the personal lawyers? Like, can you use it for both, or how does that work?
It depends on the type of business that it is. If it's a one man or a one couple show, they can attach the what we call the personal plan and the business plan together for
Oh,
$50 a
okay.
month. If it's a bigger company, let's say they have two or three people in charge, business partners, a payroll and benefits person, and maybe an office manager, that membership would start at $49 a month with two users having access, but only for business law.
Right.
If the business owner then also wanted to have access for personal things, such as getting their will done, which is a covered benefit of the personal plan, then they just have to carry both. So it's still under $100 a month.
Wow. I think that's so great. So what I heard you saying was that they'll review the contracts, they'll look at the contracts, they'll give you feedback on those. So my understanding is that they will review documents and they won't actually generate the documents. Is that correct?
That is correct. If someone is not comfortable with generating their own document, we can sort of refer them out to a lawyer that will generate the documents for them. And when we do that, our members get a 25% discount off the hourly rate of that lawyer. So instead of paying $400, they'd be paying $300 or something like that.
Right.
But, we actually do also provide some forms so that they can look at the forms. And there are template services online where you can actually go to the template service, pay very little to have, to create the contract yourself, and then take it to the lawyer to have them review it. I've done that myself. And I find that although they might say, well, you're not really covered in this circumstance, then you can decide if you're going to amend your contract. And at least you didn't have to pay, $300, $400 an hour to get that advice.
Yeah, no doubt. And so you said that they call up, everything is done over the phone, even though it's local lawyers, everything's just done over the phone. You don't, there's no going in or anything like that, I guess.
Yeah, there's only one exception to that, and that is if it's time to get your will notarized and executed. But the thing about Legal Shield is it's designed so that one law firm we're attractive to that law firm. So they cover the whole province, for example. So if you live in Terrace, you're not going to come into Vancouver to get your will signed anyway.
Right.
But you can still be a member and you can still get that support over the phone. Or of course, you can upload your documents. We even have an app. So if the document is saved on your phone, you can upload it through the app and send it into the law firm, or you can just scan it and send the PDF as an email attachment.
Right.
So we try and make it so that people all around the province or the state, depending on what your needs are, have access to the law firm at this price, and they don't have to go in.
Wow. Yes, convenience. That's nice. So most of my audience, of course, is in the construction industry. And the construction industry often involves things like contracts, negotiations, and potentially legal challenges. What would that service look like for that group of people? So we talked about contracts where you would send your contracts in. One of the things I'm maybe thinking of in particular, because I know this for me was a real pain in the behind, was when you had to lien a property, for example, that it's such a pain in the butt to go through that process. Is somebody available to help you with that kind of legal assistance as well?
I would say that that's limited.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is really to try and be proactive and nip things in the bud before it goes to that, that degree. So in other words, if you have a good contract to start with, and your client has signed that, there already is some built-in responsibility that they know what they're taking on. It's not just a handshake and it's not just a verbal, and there's not that misunderstanding. Well, I thought I said, I thought you said this, and I thought I heard that, so already that starts things on a better footing. And then if something goes wrong, it's easier for the member to talk to the lawyer and say, well, I've done the work. They knew what the contract was, and now they've decided that it wasn't really worth $10,000. They only want to pay $7,250. And so then the lawyer is going to guide you to say, well, let's try this and let's try that. They can send a letter on your behalf reminding the client that you have signed an agreement, and what some, breach of contract might result in, and stuff like that. So all of those steps are kind of put in place before you might get to the place where you might have to put a lien on the property. And if the person was such a very new in business and had never put a lien on the property before, there's no reason why they couldn't ask their lawyer, well, how do I do that? And where do I go? And what does that look like? But the lawyer's not going to walk them through. Maybe they're going to send them to a couple of websites. And so from there, it is a little bit of the DIY part. So we just try and fill in all the blanks before you get to that part.
Well, they act as a resource, and that's the thing, is that when you're paying, you're not paying a lawyer $32 an hour. It's not like you're paying this reduced rate. You're basically paying an insurance if you need access to legal service. You don't have to be paying $300 an hour out of your pocket, just in because it's so hard to commit to that, and then you try to, figure it out yourself, and it becomes very difficult. So I think this is a really great option. So
Can I
also in the
just say
construction,
something
oh,
on
go ahead.
that? Don't forget what you're going to say. See, the problem is that most people then won't seek legal advice because of that $300. I know when my brother, when I was dealing with my brother's stuff, I was doing a lot of Google searching. I was listening to video audios on the law library, and I just couldn't get the specific answers to the specific questions that I was, trying to get the answer to. And so I'm just, do you mind if I just share a story from
Absolutely.
someone?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this girl wanted to make an investment. She knows me pretty well. We've been friends. We've had phone calls. And she reached out to me one day and said, okay, I'm going to make an investment and I need the contract reviewed. And I said, sure, no problem. We can help you take care of that. It was a Thursday. And she said, the only problem is I need it done tomorrow. And I'm like, well, that is a problem because our lawyers are not charging, lots of money. So it's not like you're like their highest priority, then drop everything. We have a contract that says we'll have your contracts reviewed within 3 days, 3 business days. So if you want it done tomorrow, that's a problem because I can't promise that. And I said, why don't you reach out to some of your lawyer friends and see what they would charge you? So she did. And then I didn't hear back from her. So the following week, I reached out to her and said, so what happened? And she said, oh, okay, well, I did get some quotes, $650 to review her on the Friday. And I said, wow, so what did you do? And she said, I just chose not to get legal advice at all. And I signed it and sent it off.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
this is what happens. That's the reality. And so if you have that service, it's not a lot of money. And you know what? It is money. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate money and I appreciate business expenses and not overdoing it. But if you have that in your back pocket, you are going to have that advice. You are going to make that call. And if you don't, you probably won't. So it's not a question of shall I pay $32.95 or shall I pay $300 an hour? Like that's not the equation because people will not choose A or B. It's $32.95 a month or no legal advice at all. And that's where we get into trouble.
I think that's a great point, because it's a, yeah, like I said earlier, it's a commitment to be able to do that for that amount of money, especially with some of these small businesses that just don't have that amount. And actually, back to that, kind of flows right into my question that I was going to ask you. It has to do with cash flow. And because in the construction industry, it's such a crucial part of our business, my question is, can Legal Shield support in those matters where, whether it's related to debt collection or financial disputes in any way, like you were saying, if there's a contract, they'll send a letter or any other kind of cash flow related financial services that they might be able to offer?
Well, I would have to say on the big picture, collections is a huge issue that our business lawyers deal with a lot. And the thing is, when you send a demand letter to someone on your email, it doesn't have a lot of clout. And they just go, oh, yeah, that's just Billy at ABC Company bugging me again. I know I owe her. Okay, fine. I'll pay her when I can. Now, when they get a letter from the law firm, or from the lawyer on the law firm's letterhead, we don't know how they're going to treat that because there are some business people that are just going to go, whatever, sue me. And there are some going to go, oh crap, Billy is now lawyered up and she's reached out to somebody and threatened legal action. So we're not pretending that we're, starting a legal action. The letter is basically a demand letter to say, take care of your obligation, or I have no choice but to help my client pursue legal action. So again, it's to try and get someone to take an action. Now, if all that does is cause them to give you a payment plan, that's better than nothing,
Absolutely.
right? But if they choose to ignore that demand letter, which can happen, the lawyer's not going to send another one. But it doesn't hurt to call the lawyer and say, okay, well, the 10 days seems to have come and gone. Have you heard anything? Because I think you would have told me if you had. No, you haven't. Yeah, me neither. What are my next steps? What can I do now? How do I continue to pursue these people? And every situation is different. I mean, if it was in Toronto, they'd probably treat it differently than if it was down the street. But we just don't know. And I like knowing that I'm not a lawyer and I don't know the answer to these things, but I am going to help small business owners have access to a good lawyer or a lawyer team so that they can get the support that they need when things like these happen, because they don't happen a lot, but they do happen for sure.
So in the case of, okay, so they're not paying, they get that demand letter, and now I have to go to small claims, like just it's, less than $5,000, and they owe you the money, and it's worth it for you to pursue this in a small claims application. I'm guessing that the lawyer would be available to do the same thing, which is guide you through the process, similar to what you said about the lien process. They'd be there to guide you through. Is there any other services related to that that they are able to offer?
Probably I would say no, because those are the big ones, collections, receivables, liens. And I'm not saying that the lawyer would sit down with you on the phone and go through the form with you and make sure you dot your I's and make sure you cross your T's. It's not that kind of a hand-holding situation, which makes me want to make one other point is when you see lawyers offering a half hour free consultation. I think most people need to know, nothing against lawyers, we all appreciate them, but those half hour consultations are not legal advice. They are listening to your situation, seeing if they think they can help, and trying to find out if you can afford them.
It's a good
So,
point because
they cannot give you legal advice until you've retained them and are $32.95 or $47.90 or $99, whichever that's considered retained, they can give you advice.
Good to know. And so, what are some common myths or misconceptions when it comes to the legal service that you come across in, dealing with people, like, these stories that you have? And how does Legal Shield either debunk them or address them?
Well, if I could go back to my personal story, the will situation is a big one. Tons of lack of understanding around that. So many people think, well, if something happens to my husband, obviously I'm the person that would get his stuff. And if it's not in paper, on paper, if it's not in a will, and if it's not joint, then no, we absolutely have zero access to those things. Now, can we get it? Of course, through a grant of administration, through talking to the bank, but it's not a guaranteed thing. And quite frankly, if you have his debit card and if you know his PIN number, you're skating on some pretty thin ice by going and cleaning out his bank account before you tell the bank that he's passed away.
Interesting,
So
yes.
yeah, so I just think this is the big misconception that people have. Another one is how children are treated in a situation where there's no will. And unless you have another question, I have an interesting story to
Oh, you go
share.
ahead. No, I got, we can, no, you go ahead. We have time.
Okay,
I love interesting
so
stories.
yeah, me too. So this lady reached out to me. She was away in Southeast Asia, taking her youngest to meet his grandparents for the first time. While she was away, husband and two preteen children were at home. And he decided to fix something on the roof, and he fell off the roof and died on the front lawn.
Oh my goodness.
And so the two young children had to call 911 and call their grandparents and all that kind of stuff. And you can imagine the tragedy. The lady also had to come home suddenly from where she was with their youngest. And it was just a tremendous tragedy. However, he was only 49. So a lot of people, back to misconceptions, they think they have time. I'll write my will when I get old. And of course, tomorrow is just not promised. So he didn't have a will. And they had so this property that they had about 700,000 in equity. And because now there are children who are, they're not considered orphaned, but they've now lost, you know, in a financial sense, they've lost access to future revenue.
Right.
The public guardian and trust comes in and says, okay, the wife can have the first 300,000 and the rest is split by the children and the wife equally. And she cannot touch the portion that's put aside or set aside for the children for their future.
Oh,
so if he had written a will, she would have access to the whole 700 because she would have been able to make decisions about his assets.
Right.
Not just as an executor, but really as his heir. So
right.
Everything that I have now goes to her. It's up to him. I'm not saying that would be that he could have said, okay, it's split evenly between my wife and the three kids. That happens too.
Right.
But this way, she had no say for a large portion of her financial well-being. She's the mom. She's the one that's going to have to fend for those children. She's the one that's going to have to make all the decisions, the financial decisions that affect them today. And here they're only 14, 13, something like that. And now this 300,000 is tied up until they are 19.
Wow.
So she has no access to it whatsoever. So you don't want the public guardian and trust. So when you hear that, those words where people always say, oh, well, if you don't have a will, the courts have one for you. The province will have one for you. It's quite serious. And it is
right.
absolutely true, even though it just depends which body is going to take care of it. But if your family member dies without a will, the court assumes that they have, that their job is to protect that person's assets, not
That's
to give
crazy.
A crap, not to give a crap about the family that's still alive.
It seems inhumane. I don't know.
I have stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
It does feel like that. It feels like that when you're on the other side of it. That says, what? You don't trust me? You don't think I would have taken care of these children? Well, we don't have to make that judgment. You didn't. He didn't. So apparently somebody has to. So we will take the job of setting that money aside for the kids because apparently you guys didn't think it was important enough.
Wow.
Right?
Putting it that way, it's like, okay, maybe, you know, put a little bit of pressure on people. Like it's, yeah, that's interesting. So what can we do as business owners, as just citizens, people, you know, tell me, how can we educate ourselves to not have these things happen? Obviously, this podcast is helping, so thank you. What else can we do?
Well, unfortunately, with my background in financial literacy, it's no one's favorite topic. People love to spend. They don't particularly like to keep. I don't even use the word savings. I haven't used that word savings for 20 years because it's not really... Savings is kind of messed around in our vocabulary. It's really keeping. So how much of our money are we going to keep, or how much of our money are we going to manage? Everyone is faced mostly with consumerism.
Oh, yes.
So our focus is on what we can buy next, not what we can preserve. So it isn't easy to get the message out. And it's people like me and like you that are a bit more the planners of the world. And I'm not saying we should all listen to Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey, which are, you know, big names out there, but a little bit fear-mongering as well goes in the financial. And that's why people don't listen anymore. They just go, oh, stop it. I know I might have an emergency. I have a credit card, okay? But we just have to let people know that it's kind of a safe journey, this educational journey, that we're not trying to spoil your fun. You know, it's like we're just trying to give you some tools so that if something goes wrong, you've got some protection under your belt. And if nothing goes wrong, well, you've just put some money aside to take care of yourself. You know, we don't cancel our home insurance because we didn't have a fire in the last 5 years. We don't cancel our car insurance because, you know, we've never been stopped. So who would ever know that I'm driving without car insurance? And we just don't do that kind of stuff. So this is just another layer. So when we're educating people on the kind of like the financial foundation, protection and preservation of capital is very important. Even when I teach on investing, people are often thinking about investments because they want their investments to make up for their bad behavior when it comes to consumerism. So they're like,
That's
"What?
true. It's true.
I only get 3%. I was hoping to get like 10." Well, you know what? If you don't get credit card interest, you're kind of saving 20% right there because so many people, they have a credit card, they're paying 19.99% or more in interest, but they're still hoping to get a high interest on their investments. And it's just like, wait a second, like we can fix things sooner. We don't have to wait until they get ugly, as they say. So for me, I'm just a bit of a soapboxer, you know. I'm just telling the story, you know, that we can take better care of ourselves. We can plan a little bit and we can start a little bit earlier, you know, because, you know, even if you are gonna like I'll give you an example. If you want to travel and you know you're not gonna travel for a year, you can start saving now. You can actually put away 20 bucks a week. You know, it's gone. You forget about it, but you can see it's in a separate account on your bank statement, but it's not there to spend. And then the next thing you turn on, you've got $500 or $600 sitting in that account. And it wasn't painful because it was only $20 being moved over every week. Well, I just want to help people have that moment of thought, you know, instead of rash decisions and just give themselves some time. You know, to deal with some of these more complex pieces of the emotional puzzle. You know, this is my mission.
Well, I love the mission because I see so much value in this. The whole their mission, you know, everyone deserves legal protection, I think is so great. And I really appreciate you being here and sharing with me today. So if anybody is interested, you said that this is North America wide. Do you if somebody down in New York wants to get in touch with you, can they work through you, or do they have to find somebody local to work with to be able to
Oh,
sign up?
that's a great question. And yes, I can help people in about 45 US states. Some of the states do have a little bit of a licensing situation. They want you to have a social security number, which I don't have, but about 45 of them I can help in. And of course, we are only available in 5 Canadian provinces, so I can also help there.
All right. Well, how can people then get in touch with you if they want? And I guess you could probably find somebody if, in, for example, if New York has those regulations and you have somebody that there that's interested, I'm sure you have somebody to refer them to. So how can they get in touch with you to get more information?
Well, fortunately, I'm very searchable on Google, on the Google.
Good. And
And
that's
I'm
Billie,
also.
Billie, Sinclair being Sinclair. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good.
And I'm also very searchable on Facebook.
Yes, in fact, another little piece is that Billy has the you are the admin of the BC Women in Business group, and that's got to, I think that's close to 24,000 members now. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I didn't start the group. So Natasha Lee started the group, and I just got a chance to take over. And there are actually a number of groups. So altogether, we've got over 50,000 members in our various groups, and they're
Oh,
all
wow.
women in business.
Very good. Wow. That's great. Okay. Well, very good. I thank you so much for being with us today, with being with me today. And I look forward to sharing this and hopefully getting some people some protection. in the our construction industry.
I certainly hope so, because they certainly are, they have all of my respect. I'm watching a 5-tower construction going up right in front of my window here.
Oh,
And
yes.
Very, very fascinated when they put cranes up and take cranes down and dig deep holes. And
Oh.
it's pretty fascinating. Me and my guy, this is a little bit of our, it's almost like a TV set that you can just watch this happening in front of our window. And
Yeah.
so I have a lot of respect for the industry and a lot of respect for the people that are creating our homes. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you.